Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana, is pleased to present to you the marrow of the message. We continue our series today in 1 Samuel by looking at chapter 9, verse 1, through chapter 10, verse 16. This story begins with ordinary life made up of minor irritations. You're going to see what I mean here in just a minute, but keep in mind, it is extremely ordinary. One might even call it boring as you read through. This is an important chapter because in it, an important section, because in it we see the invisible hand of God at work. Let me read this and you'll see what I mean. There was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becheroth, the son of Aphiah, of Benjamin. He had a son named Saul, an impressive young man without equal among the Israelites, a head taller than any of the others. Now the donkeys belonging to Saul's father Kish were lost, and Kish said to his son Saul, "Take one of the servants with you and go and look for the donkeys." So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and throughout the area of Shalisha, but they did not find them. They went on into the district of Shaalim, but the donkeys were not there. Then he passed through the territory of Benjamin, but they did not find them. When they reached the district of Zuph, Saul said to the servant who was with him, "Come, let's go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us." But the servant replied, "Look, in this town there is a man of God. He is highly respected, and everything he says comes true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take to find the donkeys." Saul said to the servant, "If we go, what can we give the man? The food in our sacks is gone. We have no gift to take to the man of God. What do we have?" The servant answered him again, "Look," he said, "I have a quarter of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God so that he will tell us which way to take." Then they go into some detail about in the olden days they used to call those who, when they go inquire of God, that they would go see the seer. But nowadays it says that they would call on the prophet, who used to be called a seer. Verse 10, Saul agreed to it, said, "Good." So they set out for the town where the man of God was. As they were going up the hill to the town, they met some girls coming out to draw water, and they asked him, "Is the seer here?" "He is," they answered. "He's ahead of you. Hurry now. He's just come to town, for the people have a sacrifice at the high place. As soon as you enter the town, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people will not begin eating until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Go up now. You should find him about this time. Now, if you're like me, you're reading this right now, and you're thinking, "My goodness, who cares about details about looking for donkeys, going up to a town looking for a seer who's going to help you find your donkeys? I mean, is this what the Bible's all about?" The Bible is full of ordinary, incidental irritations such as this. But let's keep on reading for a moment. Then they went up to the town as they were entering, there was Samuel coming toward them on his way up to the high place. Now, if we jump forward from verse 14 over to verse 18, the story carries on very seamlessly. Let's look at this. This is very interesting. I read 14 again. I'm going to jump right into verse 18. They went up to the town, and as they were entering it, there was Samuel coming toward them on his way up to the high place. Saul approached Samuel in the gateway and asked, "Would you please tell me where the seer's house is?" "I am the seer," Samuel replied. "Go up ahead of me to the high place, for today you are to eat with me, and in the morning I will let you go and will tell you what is in your heart." You see how the verses just flow? Verse 14 leaps right into verse 18. The story goes on. But notice there is an interruption in verse 15 to verse 18. I'm going to read that now because it gives us insight as to, though this is an ordinary circumstance, God is at work. This is important for us to see because in our lives so often we live in the ordinary day-to-day that we miss the fact that God is at work. The invisible hand of God is at work even in your circumstances today. Verse 15 gives us the insight. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel. About this time tomorrow, I will send a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him leader over my people Israel. He will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked upon my people, for their cry has reached me. When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, "This is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people." This section of 1 Samuel is so ordinary. If it was just to read the story, I wouldn't even find it very interesting. But when we begin to see this interruption in verses 15 through 17, we surely can begin to see that even though there were donkeys lost, there was a trip through Ephraim, there was concern that Saul was concerned that his father would be worried about him more than the donkeys. There was a desire to return home, a servant suggestion, "Let's go find the seer who perhaps can tell us where the donkeys are." It's so ordinary that it would cause us almost to just turn away and ignore it. And so often our lives are, most of us, our lives are so ordinary that we miss it. You know, think about it. It could be your life we're reading about. And would it be that interesting? You probably would agree with me, it probably wouldn't be. But you get up in the morning, you get ready for the day, and all of a sudden you find the water heater's out. That's a big deal to us, but it wouldn't sell stories. It wouldn't sell newspapers. It's no front page news. Or you go outside to your car and the battery's dead. Or worse yet, maybe the pipes are frozen on your house. But in this case, for Saul, the donkeys have ran off. And it makes it to chapter 9 of 1 Samuel as something very, very important. Know this. There is not a word wasted in the scriptures. God had a plan by revealing this story to us, because while Saul was looking for donkeys, God was whispering in Samuel's ear. Now, Kish had sent Saul to find the donkeys. It's simply a son helping his father. But we have to remember, even in this, the Lord is at work. We should learn to be assured that in all the minutiae of life, the invisible hand of God is at work. This is where we have to trust the Lord. It's simple as that. Life is about the simple things, but it is also about overlapping everything as a matter of trusting in God. We're introduced to Saul in chapter 9, the first two verses. We're told about Saul that he's an impressive young man. He's unequaled for his handsomeness, I would say. He's unequaled in his appearance. He's a head taller than everyone else. So by all appearances, Saul is the perfect leader. He would be the ideal man that people would look for. Matthew Henry points out, though, that there's nothing mentioned about Saul's wisdom, nothing about his virtue, nothing about his accomplishments. We live in a day and age where so often selling a product is all about how it looks. Presentation's everything. We look at even our presidential candidates. They don't have to have that much experience, but if they look good, they run a good chance of going deep into the election process. Matthew Henry also points out, though, that though the wisdom of, there's nothing mentioned about Saul's wisdom, nothing about his character that is mentioned, only his appearance. Matthew Henry points out, though, that when God would choose a king after his own heart, after Saul, we would know it would be David, he would decide on one who was not at all remarkable physically. In fact, David was almost ignored by his own father, even while he worked out in the field. We'll see this in the later chapters in 1 Samuel. But there's nothing mentioned about his appearance. But what is mentioned about the one that would be the king that God would choose, would he was a man after God's own heart. In other words, he aimed to live a Godward life. His heart was turned toward the Lord. But listen to this. When God chose a king after the people's heart, and in this case we see Saul, he was a man who aimed at nothing of stateliness, nothing of grandeur. His mind was on donkeys. His mind was on simple things. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not who you would expect would be a king. But God chose this king, which was after the people's heart, who was one who was great looking. He was great in appearance. He had no other good qualities, but he sure did look good. And this would be the one that would be impressive before the people. But let's look at this passage and discover the invisible hand of God. That's why I'm interested in this passage today. I want to be encouraged knowing that God is always at work through circumstances. And in this case, God is the invisible hand of God is at work through circumstances in order to present and raise Saul up as king. We're describing the providence of God when we speak about the invisible hand of God. And in every case, we talk about providence as God providing for the needs of his people. He's doing something, but ultimately God is providing for his own glory. God's providence, according to Dale Ralph Davis, is that wonderful, strange, mysterious, unguessable way Yahweh has of ruling his world and sustaining his people, frequently doing his work over, under, around, through, or in spite of the most common events and happenings of our lives, and even overcoming the bias of our wills. We will make decisions, we will choose to do this, we'll choose to do that, we'll go here, we'll go there, but in spite of this, God will work under, around, through, or in spite of our plans. It's God's plans which stands. The invisible hand is not overruled by our choices and our decisions. God will accomplish his will perfectly. So whether it's lost donkeys or a search through the hills of Ephraim, a desire to go home for Saul, a servant suggestion to see the man of God, scraping up a prophet's fee, simple things, ordinary things, mind-numbing things, ordinary stuff, we see behind all these, working through these events is the invisible hand of God moving Saul down a path which Saul himself never even thought of. He never considered it, but God moved him where he wanted him through these ordinary circumstances. If it weren't for chapter 9, verses 15 through 17, we wouldn't know it. We wouldn't see these events as evidence of God's invisible hand, of God orchestrating history through ordinary events. We see God whispering in Samuel's ear in verse 15. In verse 16 of chapter 9, God is instructing Samuel. He's telling him what's happening. And in verse 17, God shows Samuel his plan. So God, in this case, because it's in the Word of God, God has let us in on the secret, which Saul knew nothing about. And remarkably, God usually doesn't let us in on his secret counsel regarding events or circumstances in our lives. But what God does tell us is that he causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. This speaks of his sovereign providence. God rules over every event in our lives in spite of decisions and choices that we make. There are consequences for our decisions. There's consequences for our choices, but God's perfect goodwill and pleasure is being accomplished. We can have confidence that God's invisible hand is at work, even in your circumstances and my circumstances right now, that he is directing our course. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says this, "A man may plan his way, but the Lord directs his steps." We can never figure it all out, but we can trust that God knows, and that is our comfort as believers. We're not just accidents floating along by mere chance and providing an outcome unknown to God. We're not open theists. We believe that God is sovereign, and he has displayed his sovereignty perfectly through the person and work of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate expression of the providence of God. He's moved history in order to bring about the incarnation and of his Son and the redemption of his people through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We can never figure out, but we can trust that God knows. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to know everything. We don't even have to ask the question why. But we must learn to fully lean on Jesus Christ. We don't have to know the whys to our circumstances. So much time is wasted in our lives by wondering why. What is God up to? It makes sense that we would want to ask those questions, but to dwell on them and let those questions paralyze us and make us protest against God is very unwise, and in fact, it's foolish. But we have to hold fast in faith. If you find yourself very perplexed and you're disturbed by the circumstances and all the reasons surrounding everything, or all the difficulties or the circumstances in your life, bring those concerns to the Lord. Hold fast in faith. Trust Him, believing that God is too wise and too loving to make a mistake. God is too wise and too loving to blunder your circumstances. It's His plan. It's His reputation that's at stake. And it may look for the moment, as we've looked in 1 Samuel before, and we've seen that God is willing to look weak. God is willing to look inept. But through it all, He's accomplishing His plan for His glory and for our good. Keep that in mind. God never second guesses His plan and purpose. It's perfect in every way. You may be presently going through a very dark time in your life. You wonder, what is God's good will and pleasure? It may hurt. That is, your circumstances may hurt and cause you distress now, but I want to keep encouraging you. I want to encourage you to keep on looking for the donkeys like Saul. Keep on doing the daily routine that God has placed before you. Keep on looking for the donkeys. God will make clear His plan in time, and maybe not in this life, but one day you will give Him glory for what He did during your lifetime and through all history for that matter. Saul may have been in the dark, but Samuel wasn't in the dark. Saul was God's answer to the cry of the people. God recognized their distress. He recognized their cry was out to God to get out from under the burden of slavery of the Philistines. And God sent Saul. God chose a man after the people's heart to save them from the Philistines. Notice, I mean, the people rejected God as king, yet God superintends the selection of Saul, a man after the people's heart, but God raised him up to save them from the Philistines. Israel had rejected the Lord. This is mind-boggling to me. Why would God do this? Because God loves His people. In spite of their stupidity, in spite of their lack of faith, in spite of their unbelief, God's invisible hand continuously worked compassionately for their relief, for their keeping, and for the fulfillment of promises made to Abraham concerning the Messiah of God. And now we see God raising up a man named Saul. The wording is very similar to what we see regarding Jesus. Samuel's told, anoint him leader over my people Israel. He will save my people. He will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. Saul was far from being like Christ, but he was a Christ figure of sorts, a representative in a sense, a type and foreshadowing of Christ who had come. Yet Christ who had come is perfectly righteous and perfectly holy, accomplishing the will of God perfectly. The king that God had intended to and would raise up and did raise up a king after His own heart. Jesus said, I've come to do your will. It can't be said about Saul in the same way, but what we do notice that, and the most important thing for us, God working behind the scenes, working compassion for His people, for their relief and for their keeping. Your sin, according to Dale Ralph Davis, and I love this and I hold on to this, your sin does not dry up the fountain of God's compassion. Your sin cannot cause Him to be indifferent to your sorrows and suffering. God will work. He will sanctify. He will accomplish His will and purpose in your life as well as in the world. Call upon Him. Cry out to Him. Trust Him. It's so important. This is one of the most important lessons we can learn. I would encourage you to look at the chapter 10, because in chapter 10, the invisible hand of God is still at work, assuring and equipping Saul, assuring him in this. Through Samuel, God gave Saul three confirming signs of his soon-to-be public kingship. Saul was anointed privately and told he was going to be the leader of Israel according to the will of God. And to confirm it, God gave Saul three signs. The first sign being, and on his way, as he would walk, all in the same day, he would be told that the donkeys were found. Then some men that were going up to Bethel to make sacrifice would give Saul two loaves of bread. And then finally, the third confirming sign, God would let Saul walk among the prophets, and he would prophesy. In fact, it says, the Spirit of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will rush upon Saul and make him into a different person, give him a new heart. Now, this isn't to be misunderstood by saying that God regenerated Saul, or Saul caused him to be born again, because we see evidence in Saul's life that he was not born again. But what this does mean, he was made a different person. Before, Saul was concerned about donkeys. Saul was concerned about the day-to-day to obey his father, which was all good, but he had no mind for leading Israel. Saul was given a new heart. He was given a new direction in life, a new aim, and God did this for him that he would be able then to carry out the will of God to save Israel from the Philistines. Saul receiving power through the Holy Spirit. Now get this though, not only did he receive power, but he was told very specifically in verse 8 that he would receive direction through the Word of God. Chapter 10, verse 8. Samuel said to him, "Now go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do." Saul would never be a free agent. He couldn't be. Saul was given the Spirit. Now he would be given instruction through the Word of God as Samuel would tell him what the instructions are. But he had to learn to submit himself to Samuel, who brought God's word to him. Samuel says, "I'll show you what you must do." This is God's instrument speaking to Saul. He would have to learn obedience. You and I have to learn obedience. So often we're tempted to go our own way. We are tempted to ignore the word of God. We're fast to claim we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, but we forget to listen to the word of God. Well, in summary today, it was the invisible hand of God that moved Saul through ordinary, boring circumstances to Samuel to receive the anointing as king of Israel. It was the invisible hand of God which equipped Saul for the task of saving and leading Israel. Remember, he's given a new spirit. He was given a new heart in the sense that he was made capable of leading Israel, new mind to think in new ways of how he might live, to move away from just simply hunting for donkeys to leading Israel and delivering them. The Lord is leading each of us today. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and received him through faith, he is leading through hard circumstances at this time in your life. Don't forget it. Don't miss the blessings which no doubt are coming to you in time. God affirming your sonship. Trust in his invisible sovereign hand and trust that his hand is at work in your life for your good and for his glory. We'll continue in 1 Samuel, Lord willing, next week by picking up at verse 17 of chapter 10. May the Lord be with you.